This work was done together with Péter Széphalusi from Budapest and with Professor Graham in Essen and with his student, PhD student Martin Fleeser. So, probably most of you have seen such numerical spectra where some levels calculated numerically for the anisotropic traps in function of some control parameter showed lots of avoided crossings. This is a clear sign, a characteristic for classically chaotic systems. And we were sure that somehow the chaos must be here. But to capture the chaos, we should go somehow to the semi-classical, via the semi-classical limit to the classical Hamiltonian, where we at least have trajectories. So very shortly in the introduction, I would like to show how we can go to some classical Hamiltonians a la Pitayevsky and Stringari. What we suppose that, we can look at the different models, but let's restrict ourselves to the simplest case. We are at t equals 0, and we would like to investigate whether the Bogoyubov equation contains some chaos or not for the anisotropic step, and even later on we will use the Thomas Fermi approximation for the condenser. So, in the Bogoyubov equation that describes the quasi-particle excitation, we would like to go to the classical limit, and what we suppose that the potential like contribution of the condensate is a classical potential, even it is multiplied formally by h bar. But let's think about the Thomas Fermi limit. This k of L, what occurs in the off-diagonal and in the diagonal part of the Bogoyubov equation, is really like a smooth potential. So let's put into the Bogoyubov equation the semi-classical wave function, and let's consider in leading order in h bar the equations for these amplitudes. What occurred here, we get in leading order homogeneous equations for these amplitudes, and the solvability condition for those amplitudes is simply that the determinant of this matrix should vanish. This determinant has this Hartree Fock energy, which comes from the gradient of the action here, and this is what we call in classical mechanics as the momentum. So from this solvability condition, we promptly get what is the classical Hamiltonian, what we would like to investigate from the chaotic point of view. So in my talk, I would like to investigate once again this Hamiltonian, what I call Bogoyubov classical Hamiltonian, and this one is the Hartree Fock Hamiltonian. And this K, once again, the potential like contribution of the condensate. So, let's jump promptly to the anisotropic traps, because if we look at a completely isotropic trap, what is left effectively the radial problem, even in classical mechanics, and every 1D problem is integrable. So let's look at when we destroy the complete isotropy, and let's treat this potential like contribution in the Thomas Fermi approximation. So now we have a classical Hamiltonian, and the dynamics, where we have trajectories, simply given by the Hamilton equations. To visualize the trajectories, because we have some conserved quantities, let's go to cylindrical coordinates. This phi is a cyclic variable in the Hamiltonian, and it's trivial that the z component of the angular momentum is conserved. One, so this is two conserved quantities. We have rho and z, p rho and pz. Now, even the trajectory in phase space feels a three-dimensional hypersurface. So to visualize, let's consider a cut with a given hypersurface, which is given by this plane, z equals zero. Now we fix the energy and fix omega, the angular momentum. The modulus of Tz is given from the energy conservation, and we simply plot what is rho, p rho, when the trajectory goes through this hyperplane. And now I show results for the Gillot trap in three different regions. When the energy is much bigger than the chemical potential, when the energy is comparable to the chemical potential, and when the energy is much smaller than the chemical potential. So this is the numerical result. Energy much bigger, comparable to the chemical potential, and much smaller than the chemical potential. So what is promptly obvious from those pictures, when we see some regular behavior, it is connected to some integrable property of the Hamiltonian. When we see some field region, this is the clear sign of classical chaos. To understand this behavior is quite easy. So this is rho, p rho, and the units are such that rho equal 1, which is here, this is the outside of the condensate, this is the inside of the condensate, and those trajectories which never get into the condensate are given by the Hartree-Fock Hamiltonian in this Thomas Fermi approximation. So this is a clear integrable problem, the motion in a harmonic oscillator potential, as the condensate is here, the classical classical particle never enters the condensate, never hits the condensate, and what is left is simply a motion in a harmonic oscillator problem, so this is integrable. So this behavior at least is clear. Okay, we see for such trajectories which gets into the condensate some chaotic behavior, but this chaotic behavior is not so strong like here. Okay, for the certain initial values in that region where the energy is comparable to the chemical potential, certain trajectories are integrable, so there are some integrable islands in the phase space, but the chaotic region is extremely big in that case. This third one is much more interesting. So here the energy is extremely small in comparison to the chemical potential. What is seen, the boundary of the condensate is somewhere here. So mostly the motion in this limit confined into the condensate, and mostly the behavior is integrated. Chaos occurs for those initial values where the trajectory gets around those integrable regions. So the rough picture, once again, quasi-integrable behavior, and chaotic behavior. To understand this low energy limit of the Bogoyubov equation, so let's look at more closely why it is integrable. If it is integrable, there should exist some well-defined limits, some well-defined Hamiltonian which acts effectively, and the next step is to prove that something is integrable to find a conserved quantity. This is what I would like to discuss in that part. So the Thomas Fermi surface for anisotropic oscillator potential is an ally, sorry. outside the Thomas Fermi surface, the Hamiltonian is simply the Hartree-Fock Hamiltonian. Inside, it differs from the Hartree-Fock, and in the Thomas Fermi approximation, it can be written in such a way. Kinetic energy times kinetic energy plus twice this k. Now, in order to lower this energy, and if the motion is bounded to the inside of the condensate where this quantity is big, the only possibility is that the kinetic energy is very, very small in comparison to this. So we can expand this and we can forget simply this second kinetic energy. And what is left? This is the approximate hydrodynamical Hamiltonian which acts in that case. To see clearly that such a limiting Hamiltonian and limiting trajectories clearly exist, I would like to show such a picture. We start a trajectory from the same point with an initial momenta directing in all the spaces to the same direction, but simply lowering the modulus of the momenta. And you probably clearly seen that there are some limiting trajectories, and really what was the expected behavior, the motion is confined in this very low energy limit, when the energy tends to zero, to the inside part of the condensate.
What is that on organic?
This is not the phase space trajectory, this is the trajectory in real space, where I simply omit the behavior in phi direction. So I don't want to show the orbit in 3D, but simply in this projection of rho and z. Z is the third coordinate, the cylindrical coordinate. So there exist limiting trajectories, and this is the limiting Hamiltonian. What is funny in this Hamiltonian, this is not of the usual form, but this is a homogeneous first-order function of the momenta. So it has strong consequences, but I don't want to discuss at the moment here. What I want to show simply that the motion with this Hamiltonian is integrable. So from our experience we knew that this hydrodynamical limit is integrable, but it was extremely difficult to prove that there exists a certain conserved quantity in addition to the energy and the angular momentum. And the way what we have found, we went to the Hamilton-Jacobi formalism, and we proved that in some very cleverly chosen coordinate, the Hamilton-Jacobi formalism, the Hamilton-Jacobi equation separates, and for the separation constant, we have found that classical phase space quantity, which is conserved, that is, it has zero Poisson brackets with the Hamiltonian and with the angular momentum. So our coordinates in which the Hamilton-Jacobi equation was separable, we went from cylindrical coordinate to elliptical cylindrical coordinate, and here the discussion now I confine to the Gila trap, to the MIT trap, a slightly different parametrization of the coordinates is necessary. So from here on, now I discuss only the Gila case, where omega z is bigger than omega naught. So these are our coordinates, and the meaning of that, that it's psi. For constant psi, we have confocal ellipsoids, and for constant eta, we have confocal hyperboloids, and the Thomas Fermi value, where the Thomas Fermi surface is given by psi tf equals psi equals psi tf, and the only parameter what we have this numerical eccentricity of the Thomas Fermi surface. So to have some impression how the trajectories look like, not the trajectories in phase space, once again the orbits in real space, projecting the phi direction. So note, it is clear from that we don't see any chaotic behavior. Everything looks like very regular. So this is what I'm speaking about. And this is the conserved quantity what we have found from the Hamilton-Jacobi formalism. What I would like to say, is there any problem? This is the motion generated with this classical Hamiltonian. This classical Hamiltonian is, once again to remind you, this is the classical. Okay, you can interpret that. So this result is not relevant from experimental point of view, but if I destroy even the axial symmetry and I choose different frequencies, even in that case the classical Hamiltonian is integrable, there exist three conserved quantity in addition to the energy. This B is the straightforward generalization what we have found in the axially symmetric case, and this new one what appears after doing this calculation is somehow the generalization of the angular momentum conservation. So not the angular momentum is conserved, but there exists a third quantity which still remains in this loop. But this is not the only one integrable limiting case of the classical Bogoyevo Hamiltonian. There exists another integrable behavior as well. So let's see first some Hartree-Fock limit. There is a bad news that the motion with the Hartree-Fock Hamiltonian is also chaotic, if I'm looking at the motion in an anisotropic trap. So where the Hartree-Fock Hamiltonian is a good approximation of the Bogoyevo Hamiltonian is just the opposite limit. When this kinetic energy is much bigger than this K, in that case the Hartree-Fock Hamiltonian is a good approximation of the Bogoyevo one. But this, so this is the statement, and this is the region where it is true. But in comparison to the homogeneous case, where only this possibility is left, that the Hartree-Fock is a good approximation of the Bogoyevo one, if the energy is much bigger than the chemical potential, in the trapped case, the opposite case is possible. There exists such a situation where the Hartree-Fock is a good approximation of the Bogoyevo one if the energy is much smaller than the chemical potential. Now, so this is the most important point for the Hartree-Fock Hamiltonian, but we investigated the Hartree-Fock Hamiltonian in different Poincaré plots, and what we have found, it doesn't matter if we look at the motion with the Hamiltonian, with the Hartree-Fock Hamiltonian or with the Bogoyevo Hamiltonian, it is also chaotic if the energy is comparable to the chemical potential and if the trap is anisotropic. So this is a bad news for the theorist. No nice results can be expected in that region where the energy is comparable to the chemical potential. But there are good news. Even in the Hartree-Fock limits, the low energy limits, which is different from the hydrodynamical limits, and this simply describes those motions where the motion is confined to the boundary layer of the Thomas Fermi surface, and in that case, that motion is integrable, where we have very fast oscillations orthogonal to the Thomas Fermi surface, and the motion along the Thomas Fermi surface is very slow. And this is such a situation. Now, we have chosen a different cut and lowered the energy, and this is a numerical comparison of some adiabatically conserved quantity. So we have an adiabatic invariant in that case if one of our variables is fast and the other one is slow. So in that regime, what is conserved is adiabatic invariant, which can be easily calculated. And this is a comparison, a numerical trajectories compared with our adiabatic invariant. So perfect agreement here. So these are those regions in phase space when you are speaking about when you are speaking about localized state to the boundary. So this is that region. And this is another comparison chosen. We have chosen different parameters where we compare our adiabatic invariant, but taken the same Poincaré cut with the Bogoyubov Hamiltonian at relatively small energies. So what is seen for this is where our adiabatic invariant is small. This is where it is big. At some intermediate region, our adiabatic invariant is not so good. But for small adiabatic invariant, it perfectly reproduces the motion. And this is a much more interesting picture where I compare the motion with the Bogoyubov Hamiltonian and with my adiabatic invariant in the low energy limit. What is seen here, an almost perfect agreement, but inside it differs very much, and those regular behavior are due to the hydrodynamical limit. So it is clearly seen that the hydrodynamical limit and the low energy Hartree-Fock limit is completely different. So there are two different regions. And this is the message of the second picture. So next, I would like to jump back to quantum. How much I have?
12.
Okay. Okay. Back to quantum mechanics. So our idea was, okay, if we were very successful to separate the classical Hamilton-Jacobi equation in the hydrodynamical limit, let's try to solve the hydrodynamical equation quantum mechanically using the same coordinates, whether it separates or not. So I am speaking about that equation, what was written down first by Sandro Stringari and later improved by Fetter and Feder and Feder and Rockshire, that this is the right one going beyond the next leading hydrodynamical approximation. So here I remind you to the classical hydrodynamical equation, Hamiltonian, and with the straightforward quantization, we are back to this equation from our hydrodynamical Hamiltonian. The only thing what we should decide, the ordering between those non-commuting stuff of potential-like quantity and the momentum operator. And this is what we know from the works of the above-mentioned people. So now I write in a slightly different form this equation where I introduce this operator G, and this G is roughly but plays the role of the Hamiltonian. And now about some notation, I have the semi-axis of the Thomas Fermi ellipsoid, which can be read from the frequencies and the mass and the chemical potential. And let's try to separate this hydrodynamical equation in those variables once again. So it was not so surprising, even the hydrodynamical equation is separable with this ordering, and what occurs, a separation of constant B, beta. One parameter what is important in those coordinates, the numerical eccentricity of the Thomas Fermi ellipsoid. Once again, this is for the Gila trap, and for the MIT trap, a slightly different equation can be written down, but due to lack of time, I don't want to discuss that case, but the same is true. I mean the main message of this. So, performing the calculation, which is surprisingly rather lengthy, it can be shown that there exists an operator B which commutes with the G and with the angular momentum operator, and which is the straightforward quantized version of the classically conserved quantity B, what I discussed previously. So back to the solution, in those coordinates, the separational ansatz is simply here, and we have two functions, and in the psi and the eta direction, these are the orthogonal directions, and those are simply the analytic continuation of each other. And moreover, the solution of the effectively 1D equation, this is only a 1D equation for psi of eta, can be looked in a polynomial form. And the polynomial has an order of n, and what is left, the problem of diagonalizing finite matrices of size n, and this matrix is three-diagonal. It has diagonal elements of, and the next two diagonal elements as well. And for completeness, I wrote down what are the matrix elements. This beta, it comes out as an output of the calculation, is simply connected to the order of the different solutions of those polynomials, and this beta is n plus modulus m, m is the angular momentum quantum number, times n plus m plus 3. So now we diagonalize in subspace those three diagonal matrices, and we have n plus 1 integer part plus 1 different eigenvalues in those subspaces. And some results for m equal 0, 1, and 2, n equal different, and I ordered some. So these are the numerical solution of our hydrodynamical levels. And the quantum numbers you can see here in those rows and columns. So, okay, next to the conclusion. So, in general, both the classical Bogoyubov and the Hartree-Fock-Hamiltonian are chaotic if the trap potential is anisotropic, and mostly chaotic if the energy is comparable to the chemical potential. There are integrable limiting cases when the energy is very big. When the energy is very small, in that situation I discussed two different limits, and the scaling differs in the two cases that E over LZ is kept to be constant, or E over LZ square is kept to be constant. In the first case, we go to the hydrodynamical limit. In the second case, we go to the localized node. Motion given by the approximate hydrodynamical Hamiltonian is integrable. Even in the completely anisotropic case, we have a served conserved phase space quantity I showed you. And in the quantum mechanical hydrodynamical equation description, once again, what we have found, this equation is separable in cylindrical elliptical coordinates, and there is a symmetry, and to this symmetry there is an operator which commutes with the Hamiltonian and with the angular momentum. Thank you very much.
When the people are discussing the chaotic motion of the shape of the condensate, it's clear that it's a measurable thing. You can see it, to follow and to study something.
Okay.
When you are analyzing some chaotic behavior in non-uniform space where momentum does not play essential role, what is essential things which can be extracted from experiment or has any influence on something which is measurable? I can't imagine that it's possible to understand what is able to find in measurable characteristics.
Connected to chaos, or this question is independent of chaos. So, I am not so ambitious to give any advice to experimentalists. What was our guess? That chaos can be everywhere, but how strong the chaos is, it depends on the region, what experimentalists can measure. First thing. Second thing, this is a bad news from the other point of view. So quantum chaos is quite a big field, and lots of things appeared in the literature, but mostly what appeared, it's not a good idea to apply those concepts here. My problem is the following. To have a well-defined usual level spacing statistics and so on, what is the usual stuff in the quantum chaotic business, you won't find the same stuff here, because depending on the spectrum part where you are, you will see different behavior. And to have a well-defined behavior and well-defined level spacing distribution, for example, you need a lots of data. And we don't have in the chaotic regime lots of data due to the fact that the chemical potential is not extremely large in comparison to H bar omega naught. It's less than 100. Or something, much less than 100. So in the true chaotic part, the classical things what people, it's no need to investigate that. But to have some good idea where the chaos concept can be used, it was introduced, I think, in your groups. In some echo effect, and when you know that there is chaos, you can do some well-defined averages, and in well-defined averages, you can evaluate some quantities like the damping process. In the damping calculation, this chaos concept was used very deeply. So, but further quantities we should think about. I simply want to say the chaos is there. That's all.
I have a rather mathematical question. If you just change the order ring of the operators which you left to the Hamiltonian, which was used before by in relation to the excitation, does the differently ordered operators remain integrable, or
I
is
think
there
so.
A relation between
ordered okay,
and
but you know this is a bit dangerous stuff if we are speaking about. So some ordering can be mapped to this case, but to do this mapping, this ordering, you should use some unit, some similarity transformation. Okay, but this simply means you change the Hilbert space in which you would like to solve your equations. And if you change the, okay, so this is connected very much to that. The wave function don't divert. Okay, so back, you are now I understand your point. So it's true that as soon as I put down into the Bogoljubov equation the semi-classical ansatz, this semi-classical ansatz is not true in every region of the space. This is true in the classically allowed region, and this is the region that is defined in 1D problem between the turning points, and outside I should use the exponentially decreasing solution and so on. We did this kind of complete calculation and even the WKD quantization in the completely isotropic case. This program I can show you for the completely anisotropic. Even we have some paper about that. So you are there. And what I was looking at about in the classical case, the motion in the classically allowed region. Let's prepare experimentally a wave technique. In quantum mechanics, you cannot follow infinitely long the wave packet. And where this chaotic behavior in the behavior of the wave packet, let us say in the average, mean average of the wave packet, you can capture the chaos. This is only for a certain time, depending on age one. And in this short time regime, you can see the chaotic behavior. And depending on your parameter, where you are, this time where you can more or less well define the wave packet before spreading out, you can capture the chaos, but not at infinitely very times. Okay.